Because Santa says so. My best friend, Jim Mandel.
Amen. I'll tell you, let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I couldn't be any more proud to see a group of men like yourselves. Every one of you has been a part. And you may not have come up here today, but you're here. So give yourself a hand of praise today. Amen? Amen. And to be able to be bold in this truth and in the gospel. We have a gospel. And our gospel isn't a message that is weak. Our gospel comes with power. That's the beauty. There's power in the word that we bring. There's words, but there's power in this gospel. Now, the Lord has been moved on my heart, very dear, and it could be for this year, about the kingdom of God. And if you're here and those that are listening, I want you to really open up your heart so that God can come in and really set us free, deliver us. And one of the things is why is it so important to preach or bring this message of the kingdom of God or this place, this spiritual place? Why is it so important? Do you know, if you look back in this Bible, they speak of a man named Jesus, and 2,000 years ago, he came and he spoke the same message. The kingdom of God is at hand. Why was it so important? Why is this message so important to get out there? It's really the gospel message to bring the world, to bring the people to the kingdom of God. And he began to start sharing with me why. And my eyes began to open up. I mean, I knew it, but you know, when you know something, it just is a greater knowledge of knowing something. And he began to show me that when we were brought on this earth, we were actually kicked out of heaven, kicked out of the universe, kicked out of his glory. We were removed, and we became orphans and widows. We literally became orphans and widows, and we were basically walking around lost, without a home. We were a place where literally we took on a form, and that form is dead, or that form is sleeping. That form is deaf, dumb, and blind. And spiritually speaking, our spirits are in this condition without this gospel, without the knowledge, without the truth, without this spirit, this divine nature. And this is why it's so important to resurrect, to wake up the sleeping giants. That's what I call. Wake up! The world in itself and those that are in it need to wake up, because we're all sleeping or we're dead. And it's so important because there's an eternal life that we're going to end to. We're going to. We're heading that way. We're all going to die. We're all going to leave this body. But the condition where our spirit lives right now, it's sleeping or it's dead. And if it is awaked by who knows what could have wakened it, it is blind, deaf, and dumb. How many people are understanding me right now? And God knew he needed to send someone with his spirit, that new truth, to be able to shake and wake up the people so that they could begin to be awakened and come back to God. We're living a life of redemption. I know Tim was tweeting Reinhard Bonnke earlier today, and I love when he gets into those conversations with Reinhard Bonnke. He's hungry. He wants to know the truth. And I hope he's listening right now. so that he can see. And I told Tim, tell him we got this message straight from the throne room, straight from Jesus himself. Go back and tell them about my father. Go back and tell them the importance of coming back home, how to be renewed, how to be delivered, how to be set free, how to wake up, how to be resurrected, how to have the real signs and wonders and miracles. I love when the natural body goes through these healings, but I love it when the spiritual body goes through it. I love when you see a dead man rise and he's resurrected from the dead. I love when I see someone who is sleeping awake and come alive. I love when you see blind eyes all of a sudden be enlightened and illuminated to understand what truth is and what a relationship with a spirit of power that comes from the universe that no one can even relate to unless he does something special in your life. I always say that there is no God unless he comes into your life and reveals himself to you. It's like the shadow. You know, nobody knows the shadow until that shadow comes to you. If God doesn't touch your life and he doesn't do something special, if he doesn't do something that you cannot comprehend or imagine, that you know that can't be possible, if he doesn't come, then there is no God in your life. But God is alive and living, and this is why it's important to wake up the people and get them to realize and understand that there is a place. And this place, it's spiritual. Right now, the whole world is living in another place. And that place is outside of our home, outside of our life where we should be living, outside, which is the kingdom of God. You know, there's parables in this book called the Bible. This book here, some people that are listening around the world might not have even known that this book exists or even had the privileges of even owning one or opening up and reading it. But in there, they used to kick all the sick and the disease, all the ones that were not formed correctly, and they used to kick them out of the towns, kick them out of the villages. How many people knew that? Well, that's what happened. We were kicked out. We were thrown out and kicked out so that we can come back home to him, so that we can come back, be healed and delivered and set free, and then come in. You know, you cannot come into the kingdom of God if you're sick, if you're lost, if you're, you know, dead, so to say. You know, I would love to say, hey, come on into the kingdom of God. It's real simple. Just come on in, you know. But you need to be delivered. You need to be healed. You have to come to a realization that you're lost. You're an orphan. You're a widow. You know, in this book here, it says, you know, take care of the orphans and the widows, you know, and you'll be blessed. You know, we take things so carnally. Well, I'll just go take care of a widow that doesn't have a husband, you know, and I'll just grab some orphans and, you know, try to find them a home and feed them. No, it's to bring the gospel message so that the widows, and I'm going to tell you right now, we're widows. Do you know we're the bride to the bridegroom? Male or female, you're a widow. If you don't know this truth, if you don't understand the love of God, if you can't comprehend the supernatural power of this universe that is longing for us, then we're widows. We've never connected to that relationship. Young, I call orphans. Orphans that don't have a home, don't have a dad. How many know who the father of this world is? And who do they call the father of this world? Satan, right? They call Satan darkness, lie, father of this world, right? And who's the father of another world? God. He's the father of the truth. He's the father of the kingdom. He's the father of where we truly are to be. And if we don't convert over and become, I want to say, born again, there's a meaning behind that. You know, we're all walking around like stuck in a cocoon. We're all sleeping and we're all dead and we have no life. And what I mean by life is, yeah, you can have a life on this earth. You can be functioning. You can have family. You can have, you know, wealth. You can have all kinds of things that you believe that is a life. But do you really have a life? You have to ask yourself, do you really have a life? My brother over here tasted what life is. You know, it's not about ourselves. He tasted what a life is. I always say, if you're self-centered, if you have an ego about yourself, if it's all about you, guess what? You have no life. We're all knitted together. And if we don't get knitted together, we don't have a life. You're out there all by yourself, wandering around, lameless, hopeless. And you might still think you have a life. Well, I got a job, I got a house, I got cars, I got toys, I got this, I got... Do you really have a life? See, the gospel and the kingdom and life is not natural. It's not a natural thing. So if you look at yourself and you think you got it all and, you know, and you're carnally minded, guess what? You're deceiving yourself. The father of this world is lying to you and is deceiving you. And when you leave this earth, you're going to find out the real truth. You're going to see that you have no life, and that life is going to perish, suffer, and it's going to be destroyed. It's just going to perish and suffer and be destroyed. I'm not one to bring, you know, fire and brimstone, but I will tell you this. There's an eternal life. And if you don't find life now, do you really think you're going to find life later? This is the only place. I used to say, don't get so caught up that earth stinks, that this life stinks. You know, oh, you know, but you don't understand how hard it is and the struggles I go through and all. And, you know, I wish I was dead. Oh, really? Do you really? In the condition that you are, you hope that you're dead? If you could have seen what I've seen and understand what I know, really? You're talking about an eternal life that is just going to be in torment forever and ever and ever and ever. This is why it was so important. You know, there was a fire that was put on this man Jesus 2,000 years ago to begin to start preaching and bringing the gospel, the good message of a kingdom, of a place, of a father, of a supreme being that loves and cares about you and is looking for your eternal life, your future. Now, I know that sounds insane. It sounds almost like a fairy tale, doesn't it? But it's so true. Or there wouldn't be a fire in me. There wouldn't be a fire in the other pastors that are in this ministry. There wouldn't be a fire. This fire is only called by God, not because we're trying to make a living, to support ourselves out there. You know, I shared with the pastors when I decided to go full time. It's like, I can't go back. The fire is burning, and if I'm out there preaching on the corner, so be it. It doesn't matter. It's not about trying to support financially, even though we need it. It's not about supporting this place. It's about just getting the word out there. That's what I live for this point in time, and for the rest that I live on this earth, to get the kingdom of God out, to show those the importance of being born again, to be adopted, so to say. And it's just a matter of connecting and understanding that I'm lost. I don't have a home. I don't have comfort. I don't have security. How many of us here today feel that way? I don't have a home. I don't have comfort. I don't have security. I don't have peace. I don't have joy. I feel like I'm scared. If you're one of those out there that are here or those that are listening and you have all those things that I just mentioned, even just one, then that's when we should really break down and say, I got to get a life. I need an eternal life. I need a relationship. I need this God that this guy is talking about to give me security, to give me comfort, to give me a peace of mind to know that everything is going to be okay. I want to tell you right now, I have a tremendous peace of mind in my heart that I know that everything is going to be okay with my life. I don't know about yours. I used to say to my wife, listen, you hang out with me, you'll be okay. But I don't know what's going to happen if I can't guarantee what's going to happen with you. You see where I'm coming from? I have comfort. He says, I will send the comforter to you. I will bring the comforter to you. Do we have comfort in our lives? Do we have a security? If God takes everything completely away from you, are you going to feel at peace? Are you going to know that you have security and your name is written in the book of life? That you have a comfort? Can you say to yourself honestly that I am found and I'm not lost? This is why it's so important. There is a world that we have not connected to. There is a life that we have not connected to. We've connected to a carnal world and the carnal things. We have connected to the carnal life. You know, the goods and bads and the rights and wrongs of the way of how you should live your life and how you should occupy it. Wake up, what you should do throughout the day, and then go to bed. Do you know life is going even when you're sleeping? When you lay your head down over at night and you go into dreams, could you be traveling somewhere? Could you be ministering somewhere? Could you be working somewhere? Could you be doing something? Life doesn't stop when you lay your head down. Life continues to go on and on and on. You know, it's not a good thing. I hear these testimonies, and I'm so grateful to see the healings and the signs and the wonders. But, you know, when you're in the kingdom, when you're in God's hands, when you're in that presence, everything is whole. Nothing wears out. Nothing's tainted. Nothing corrodes. Nothing destroys. Nothing rots. It's all whole. How many want that in their life? This is why it's so important to come to a place of getting this life. Now, how do we get that life? This is probably the next question. Okay, I'm starting to understand that I need to be adopted. I need a family. I need a place to dwell in. I need security, comfort. I can't do it all on my own. How do we get there? For one, we got to realize that we're lost. We got to realize that we really don't have a life. There's something empty inside. Something that's missing. Something that, yeah, I'm happy, but I just feel empty. Yeah, I got it all together, but just something's not there, and you just can't pinpoint it. How many of us here alone feel that way? And you could be born again. You could have a relationship. You could be a Christian. You can have all the bells and whistles, but you still have this something missing. And if you're honest with yourself and you have that, I'm so grateful that you do. Because this is the beginning of finding this life. I can say truly in my heart, as a testimony, I'm full. Every once in a while, I'll have this slight emptiness that I just don't feel too good today. And then I just lift my eyes up and I say, you know, Father, fill me. Fill me. Fill me with something that I can't pinpoint it, but there's a miss inside that I really don't like it. And next minute, you know, something happens and then I'm filled. I'm content. I'm like, woo, thank you. That was a nice drink of water. That was a great thing that you have just given me. I don't know what it was. It was spiritual, whether it was food, water, whatever it was. But I got it. I wasn't hungry anymore. I wasn't thirsty anymore. We need to make the supernatural natural in our lives. We have to begin to realize that this life isn't it. You know, we could go out and maybe go on vacation to try to fill that emptiness. We can go out and go visit somebody and try to fill that emptiness. We can fall into other areas of our lives and, you know, and get whatever you want to call it and get satisfaction. But it's temporary. It only lasts for a moment. Why not get it and be content forever? To be able to not want anything. To be content and have peace so that all the striving is taken out of your life. All the struggle and pressure. How many of us tend to be tired? Well, I'm going to tell you, we haven't quite. These are signs to show us our spiritual condition. These are signs. One of the prayers that I have is, Lord, don't allow deception to rob from your people. And why I say that is because how many of us have spoken to an individual and they hear you, but they're not quite listening to you? They're so good at it that they can actually repeat what you just said. But an hour later, you ask them what you said, and they couldn't even remember what you said. How many have come across those individuals? Good. I'm glad you did, because then you can understand what I'm trying to say. There is a point where we have ears to hear, but we can't hear. We have eyes that can see, but just can't see. We have other areas of our lives that just aren't manifested. We understand, but we just don't understand. We're lacking in understanding. There's a block. These are signs. These are signs to show us that we're not quite born again. We're not quite healed and delivered and set free from the carnal nature. These are signs to show us our spiritual condition. To say to ourselves, my God, I've been confessing with my mouth, but my heart is still so far from you. I need my heart where you're at. I need my heart where you're at. I want my heart right next to you, God. We need this cry. We need this broken sense of the spirit, the natural spirit, the spirit of the man, the spirit of the woman, the will. We need a broken will of knowing that our salvation is at hand, and there's a possibility that we might not have salvation? And could it be too late? Could it be too late? You live in a carnal world with no certainty or security because we're blind, because we're deaf. Yet we think we got salvation, yet we think we're going to enter into the kingdom of God, but our heart is so far from Him. One of the things that really startled to shake me and caused me to have this reverence, fear of God, I don't want to just be 10 feet away from you. I want to be right next to you. Was when I read that passage, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." And then the individuals crying out, saying, "But Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. I did these things in your name. I healed and I did this and I did that. I gave, I fed." And then he came back and said, "Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." That freaked me out. How many would be freaked out about that? I'll tell you right now, the last thing I ever want to do is leave this earthly body and then go to the gates, and then he says those words to me. And then I stand before him and says, what could I do? I couldn't even talk back. All I could do is weep. And I believe this is the beginning of the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. I believe this is the part where I truly feel in my heart where there are many people out there that feel as though that they have a relationship, feel as though that they are coming into the kingdom of God, feeling though that they have an eternal life. But when they get there, they're going to hear rejection. They're going to hear a place where they say, I never knew you. And this in my heart sees the beginning of weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you really think about it, I want us to be able to put ourselves in that place, not taking anything for granted, but being able to uplift His holy name and walk with reverence and a love so that we have a security to know. And if we don't know, we seek. And we continue to seek and not get so caught up with the things of the world. But then we get so consumed. But then we can come to the Lord with that place of saying, Lord, have I forsaken you? Listen, the last thing we ever want to do is take His grace for granted. The last thing we ever want to do is walk and think, have a prideful heart that I have salvation. Every day I wake up, I check my heart, and I say to the Lord, am I pleasing in your sight? Have I done and walked in your image? Can the world see you through me? Am I living with a faith to know that you'll take care of the day, even though the day has hardships and struggles around me? Are we going to walk together? Are you there? You know, Jesus, I'm sure, had that same type of relationship, because even on the cross, he cried out and said, Father, why have you forsaken me? There was a point in his life that he felt dirty, maybe. He felt as though that maybe he wasn't conducting himself. Maybe his mind and his eyes weren't in the above area in the universe, looking at him, looking at his glory, looking at his grace, looking at his love. I want us to come to a place of realizing that our salvation isn't a guarantee. There's nothing guaranteed. Let's take an earthly marriage, because I'm going to tell you right now, God wants us to become married to Him. He wants us to become the bridegroom and the bride. He wants us in that relationship. So I'm going to take an earthly marriage. I'm going to take an earthly relationship. Is there a guarantee in it? knows what changes the heart of the individual, whether it's the male or the female or whatever it is. Amen. You're right. And nobody really knows. There's no guarantee. And the other one turns around, and when they find out that their love has grown cold, they're shocked. Are we going to be one that's going to stand there and be shocked? Are we going to be the one that we're going to stand there and be like, oh, I didn't see this coming? You know, in a true relationship, you can feel. You know when someone is not happy. You know when there's something wrong. You can sense that there's trouble if there's love. Do we have that love with our Father in heaven? When we come to that place where it's like, Lord, have I forsaken you today? Have I looked upon you and give you glory? Did I come to that place? Now, I don't want your relationship to become works. I don't want you to have a checklist and think that you need to check. I want your heart in that area. When I know I'm around my children or around my wife, I can tell what's wrong. And when they come to me and they say nothing, oh, then I become a real problem to them. Because I won't let it go. I'll be like, come on, please tell me what's going on. And I know those husbands and wives and those that have children understand what I'm saying. Do we have that relationship? Are we crafted into the kingdom? Are we brought into the divine family? Do we have that? Let us open our hearts. Let us begin to be aware of our spiritual life, our spiritual condition. We need to separate ourselves from the world. I'm not talking about putting yourself in a room and don't coming out. I'm talking about you need to still live in the world. You still need to be a part of what is going on around you. You still need to, you know, fellowship and do all these things. You got to work. You know, you got to just go and do and eat. You got to go food shopping and all these things. But Jesus himself, and that's why, you know, we're maybe looked upon as Christians because we use him a lot and we read out of the Bible. But even Jesus himself said, I may be in the world, but I'm not of the world. He was in the kingdom. He had a relationship with the Father. He knew the supernatural family. God has given us angels. We've just had a group of the pastors and some good men up here testify of the angels that are encamped around us. How he has given us the family of the kingdom of God and how that family works together and knit it. And how we are brought together in that family. You know, I know when there's grieving in my life. There's times where I'll look at my children and I'll look at my wife and I'm walking in the atmosphere in my house and I'll be like, something's wrong. Kids are okay. The wife's okay. And then I begin to start saying, Lord, what's up? What's going on? What's happening? What has entered in that is causing a little bit of uncertainty, insecurity? What kind of spirit may be in the house that is not a good spirit? How many spirits do you got around you that you don't even are aware of that shouldn't be there? What influences are coming upon you and what's speaking to you to bring death that isn't true? And we begin to believe them. What's whispering to us? We want spirits that are whispering good things in our lives. You know, a lot of times we're encamped around things that we don't even realize that influence us and begin to start speaking things to us. And then we believe them. What's in your house? Who brought them in? But if you're connected in the heavenlies, when you know the kingdom of God, when you walk in that place of glory, when you resonate and dwell, you know. And then you could take the authority. You know who you are. And then you could take the authority and say, that foul spirit that is causing discomfort, leave now. You're not welcome. And as soon as you know, and everything's good. All right, we can sit down. We can have some dinner. I know there was a time where I even had a book in my home that was brought in that carried a spirit. And I didn't know it until the Lord spoke and told me about it. And I waited because he said that spirit will be gone. He told me to burn the book. And after I burned the book, that spirit will leave at 12 o'clock. And I thought I'd stay up midnight and wait to see what would happen. And I fell asleep. And in my dream, in my sleep, and that's why I said, you don't die when you're sleeping. You're not sleeping when you're sleeping. But I heard, as a door opened up and shut and slammed. And when it slammed, it startled me and I woke up in the natural. And I looked at the clock and it was 12 o'clock. And that's when I began to say, oh Lord, thank you. Because I was obedient, not knowing, acting like a fool, taking a book out, starting a fire outside, burning it like a fool. But he proved that I heard his voice. Learn his voice. Learn who he is. Learn and understand how it's important to enter into the kingdom of God. My children suffer and are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. How many of us heard that before? Are we dumb? Are we walking around sleeping? Are we walking around dead? I want to see signs and wonders and miracles. I want to see the end time revival come and raise the dead. One of the things the Lord began to speak to me is he said that the sleeping will be raised first. Wake up! Wake up, sleepy heads! Wake up! I know my voice is traveling all around the world right now. Wake up! My heart is crying for those that are asleep. We haven't even reached the dead yet. And I want to see blind eyes open up. I want to see deaf ears open up. I want to see the dumb think and have understanding with the knowledge and revelation. I'm going to ask. I spoke this earlier, but I know Jim's going to have to leave what's running run and turn the music down. I'm going to ask if the worship team would come up, and there's a song about coming to the river. I love that song, and I want them to play this song. And as this song is playing, and I hope that they can keep it going, I'll tell them when to. But I hope God anoints you to keep playing until it's done. And if I can call them up now so that they can get started. And I believe it's a supernatural call for the kingdom. I believe it's a supernatural call for those that are lost and sleeping. I believe it's as if God has called me, He's calling you. And I believe that we have might have known or heard about baptism before, but I don't know if we truly were baptized in the sense of the Spirit. Now, I'm speaking to the whole world out there. But I also believe that this song is going to go out and begin to resonate and wake up the sleeping giant. I call it the sleeping giant. I was in prayer ministering, and the Lord was ministering back to me, and He began to say out of my mouth, "Wake up, sleeping giant. Wake up, sleeping giant." And I never realized we're all one body. And that's a big body. We make up one body. Just like the living makes up one body. And I truly believe that God is working an end time harvest right now. And we are at the pinnacle point. And I believe heaven is already in motion. And we're going to be invaded, I'm going to tell you right now. And if the hearts are not prepared, we're going to miss out. That's why it's so important right now at this time. I questioned, Lord, why now? Why? I'm a freak of nature. Why? Why is this candle, this furnace, this light burning inside to a world that is not even considering thinking about you? You look around, you see the love of God just crumbling. Look at our younger generation that is rising up. If it wasn't for the moms and dads continuing to bring in the traditions, there probably wouldn't be any God. Now the moms and dads are even moving on, and they're not even bringing the message of the gospel. Where are they getting it? Where is it coming from? I thank God that He has brought an inkling into your life. A little bit. How much God do we have? Where is our mind? And what is it focusing on 24/7? Where are we at with our salvation? Where's our cares? And what are they primarily focused on? Judge yourself. I bring the message. I don't judge anyone. I don't even judge myself, so to say, to condemn. But I do judge myself to make sure that I'm in the right direction. Constantly looking. How many of us want to glorify His name? How many of us want the presence to walk alongside of us? How many of us are sick and tired of seeing, not only in our own lives, struggle and fight and war, but in those that we love and we care? Well, when you're in the kingdom, it doesn't happen. When you're in that place, the shadows of Peter healed the sick. The aprons of Paul go out, and evil spirits have to leave. Let's keep the presence of God in our lives. Let us start this song.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul. I know a place where mercy flows. Take the stains, make you whiter than snow. Like a tide,
this is a call.
Rising up deep inside a
I believe the Holy Spirit is calling us
to come alive,
to come into this kingdom.
That brings the dead to life.
There's a shout that is going out.
We're going down to the river.
There's a voice crying in the wilderness. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. How many of us are hearing the sound?
Rise up in amazing grace.
Are we going to repent? Are we going to change the way we're thinking? Stop being so carnally minded. Those that are here, those that are listening, I want you to put your hand on the screen. I want you to begin to put your hands up if you're in the car. Wherever you're listening to this message, I want you to lift your hands up now. God is going to meet you. Kingdom of God.
Let's go down.